his victims, and had apparently taken great pleasure in doing so. Local governments had tried to arrest him to no avail. Modern police forces weren't equipped to deal with someone like him. 5 good constables butchered, their bodies left as a calling card. The call went out to Pecos Station, the Bounty Hunters Guild, which I am a member in good standing of, answered the call. 3 other bounty hunters had taken the job, working together to bring the villain in to face justice for his crimes. Their deaths weren't being counted against the composer's death tally. In my not-so-humble opinion, they should. Louis Washington, Billy Gidd, Stephen Six-Gun Knox. Good men, each one of them. Well, good enough for what we do in this business. All 3 had been skilled bounty hunters and had 30 years of experience between them. They hadn't been neophytes or inattentive at all. I'd worked with 2 of them before, and they should have been up to the task. They'd known what they were doing and had gone in there not understanding their raven. It should have been a clean collar, one to share with the others over drinks back on Tycho. Their bodies had been discovered, hacked and mutilated, then posed for posterity in grotesque mannerisms which had caused half of the local constabulary to resign immediately. Nobody else stepped up to claim the bounty since, and the composer continued his devilish ways in the bowels of Waystation Zeta. There's no telling just how many people he's slaughtered in the past 6 months, unmolested by those who might be able to do something about him. Ernesto Vasquez was murderous scum, a man who preyed upon the young and innocent, the helpless and infirm. He wasn't even worthy of being called human at this point, but he definitely was worth something to someone. Hence my reasoning for being on this backwater station in the first place. It was the largest bounty I'd come across in months, and payday was close at hand. My team and I had tracked his movements through the station for weeks until we'd finally had him cornered in Bravo 6-1, a section of the station where waste reclamation occurred. It was a hellhole, with leaky pipes and constant condensation throughout, a stench which threatened to leave you no matter how many light years you traveled from the place. Mold of all types grew in abundance here, and while the scrubbers got most of the fungal particles they admitted, enough remained in the air to give me the chills in spite of the humid heat. The lighting in this particular section was red, which gave everything a surreal look about it. There was no way to be sure if this was a station design or changed because the composer preferred the aesthetics. Not that I wanted to ask him, though. Truth be told, I only wanted to exchange 86 words with him at most. Those were the required minimum I'd need to say while bringing him in alive. Dead? I could do that, but then he'd never face trial. This butcher didn't deserve a clean death by my gun, though. No, he deserved to have his neck stretched by a rope as slow as humanly possible, and his death broadcast across 13 systems to alleviate the suffering of the families he'd destroyed, the lives he'd ended, the very fabric of humanity which his existence threatened. Plus, the bounty was worth triple if he was brought in alive. "Which way, boss?" the big man on my left whispered as we came to a split in the corridor. Young, impetuous, but an absolute bull in a fight, Mike Havoc was one solid employee and an all-around good guy to have at one's back. While he wasn't a card-carrying bounty hunter yet, he was well on his way. It didn't hurt that the man was a quick study, had plenty of biomedical enhancements to give him an edge in case it might look like a fair fight, and was the size of a small mountain, which ensured a fair fight did not happen often. This was his first time chasing a real monster since I had hired him, or arrested him, depending on who was asked. His warrant had been fulfilled with some fancy footwork on my part, and I'd taken him on as an employee soon after.